Who knows? Maybe you'll have a good rant by the time this podcast is over.
I don't know. Do we have any controversial news?
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 395, recorded on August 10th, 2015.
Welcome to the 395th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 228th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Scott Durf.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and sometimes other stuff too. Maybe. Yeah. If you get me on a good rant day.
Who knows? Maybe you'll have a good rant by the time this podcast is over.
I don't know. Do we have any controversial news?
I don't know what you consider...
Well, we know what he considers controversial.
Well, I think controversial to him right now is that Game Informer just ran this little tiny little obituary for Satoru Iwata, that's all.
It wasn't tiny, but it was clearly what I would have expected for a man of Iwata's stature within the games community.
Of course, respect.
It was a full page of text and an accompanying sandwich page for a photo, but it just struck me as like, wow, they stuck this in here at the last minute so they can make press.
Yeah, I mean, that was my idea, is that, you know, this didn't happen. As for those of you who don't know, unlike online magazines, require 6 weeks of preparing the articles and everything before they go to print, and this probably got them at just the wrong time. I'm willing to bet you that they'll have something else in the next issue. It's a little more personal, also including reader feedback. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of awkward when that major news hits you just as you're about to send it off to press. So, anyways, well, actually, you know what, Paul? I think you might actually have a something to rant about this week.
Really?
Yeah, but first we need to know what you've been playing this week.
I am on the very last quest of Heroes of Might and Magic 2 expansion.
Ooh.
The very last one. All I have to do is destroy everyone on this one last board.
What, defeat a stack of 20 black dragons or something?
Oh no, that was the board before that. I had to find the black dragons, which were clearly all the way at the end of the trail that the map had been shaped out to be, and gather enough resources and kill the black dragons to acquire the, I don't know, golden bow of whatever the hell, before the start of the seventh month, right?
Actually,
so it's like, and they're increasing exponentially as it takes you longer to get there.
Yeah, I had that problem on one of my maps in which I found out that people were counting this stack of 100, 200 black dragons. I said, oh, I have to change that. Because they keep on...
I remember having that problem, too, when I made mods for Heroes 3. And, it was just a little toggle switch. But, like, this one, by the time I got there, it was, like, the last, like, 2 or 3 days of the time, you know, before the deadline. And, like, I just teleported over them. Like, to get to the bow behind them.
That's
it was like,
that's
I'm
a,
not,
that's
I'm
a better
not
idea.
Hiding 60 black dragons. Like, I don't want to... I can do it. I don't want to spend the time.
Isn't the golden bow the one that takes away that penalty of ranged shots?
I don't know that they had such complicated...
You know that when you have to fire through something,
Yeah, or... I don't know that they had that on there.
No, I mean, but that's what the artifact does. It removes that penalty.
I don't know that they had that penalty in Heroes 2.
Yes, they do. Yeah. I remember that very distinctly.
Only if you were fighting over a...
The reason why I know that is that
castle.
The longbowmen have the penalty, but the crossbowmen don't. That's why you have to upgrade them, because they don't have that penalty. Anyway, what have you been playing, Scott?
Mostly Minecraft right now. I've been doing an adventure map, Ragecraft, and when I'm not playing the Ragecraft adventure map, I'm building a World Wonder Hanging Gardens on our server, and you know, since we're like this word Polycraft, which is, you know, part of Polycast, and the building World Wonders, that just feels like is our sort of thing. So we've already built the lighthouse, and I built Stonehenge, some other things. It's fun.
Yeah. Did you see, I remember a couple, like 2 years ago, someone built a life-size replica of the USS Enterprise.
They built, like...
They built Hogwarts. They built...
Hogwarts.
Yeah. People put a lot of time in their hands and built a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, several castles from the Game of Thrones and from Lord of the Rings. So, yeah, lots of stuff.
I haven't jumped in the Minecraft pool yet, but Minecraft Windows 10 apparently has achievements, so maybe I'll try it with that. The problem with Minecraft, though, is in order to really get the full experience out of it, you have to have a lot of time in your hands, and I don't have that. You know, maybe I'll build myself a one-room cabin that is 4x4 while the zombies just knock it down immediately. So.
Oh, I know, the jerks. Break everything down, put up a nice door, and just smash it.
Right. I have been playing... I just finished Mass Effect 1 again. I actually earned an achievement for having Liara with me the entire time. It's one of the
good for you!
It's one of the achievements that... Now I have is the Pinnacle Station achievements, and then finishing the game on Insanity. Insanity difficulty level. I've started Mass Effect 2 again, and I don't know... You know, sometimes I just play these games, you know, I'm playing on casual... Just like you'd read a book, you know, that you really enjoyed, you're just reading the book again, so that, you know, you're just enjoying the story all over again.
Now, the question was, what was I reading? I read Words of Radiance by Brandon Sanderson. I spent, like, the whole weekend reading a 1,000-page book.
The last thing I read was Seed of Ganda by Lois McMaster-Bugeaud. It's one of the Vorkosigan Saga books. Ooh. How about you, Paul? What are you reading?
I just finished the first 15 Lives of Harry August.
I don't know that one.
It was kind of interesting. It was a little difficult to follow in places, but that I think is just the author's writing style.
What is the genre, though?
I would imagine either fantasy or science fiction.
Oh, okay. Just wondering. Yeah, maybe I'll look for a copy of Less Than Zero to get away from science and science fiction and just go to some straight old late 80s booze, drugs, and girls, yuppie, collapse books. You know Less Than Zero, right?
Nope.
No? Wow. It was a movie with Michael J. Fox. Anyways, I'm doing my little tour of Mass Effect 2 again. I mean, you know, and the thing is that I'm doing straight Paragon. One of these days I'm just going to go straight Renegade and not care about the results in Mass Effect 3 of what happens. You know, kill Rex, kill everybody, kill, what's it called, if they get in my way, just shoot them dead, and have a really bleak Mass Effect 3 because I basically removed most of my allies, my potential allies, and, you know, made them hate me.
Wow.
Are we talking about games or your life again?
You know, the line between fiction and reality is blurring more and more when it comes to that.
There are people that...
I had a feeling.
What were you about to say, Scott?
I was just saying there really are people that like to have the option to just make ghost towns of towns in their games, like in Skyrim or Oblivion.
That's what happened with me in Dishonored, because one thing, I thought I had saved the guy, and then when I went back to town, his daughter bitches at me that I didn't save him, and I said, screw it, you know what, this game isn't registering what I'm doing correctly, so now I'm killing everybody. Everybody, enemies and innocent bystanders, I call it leave no witnesses.
Oh, I'll do it.
Well, here's the thing, is that one thing I also knew is that... depending on how you acted, the sound would change. So when I started killing everybody, there would be more and more rats, you know, because I was leaving dead bodies everywhere. There were more rats that would attack you if you got too close to them and all that. And, you know, I was just a right bastard. I haven't completed the game yet. but it was one of the few games in which I decided I'm not going to be stealthy. I'm not going to be pacifistic. I'm just going to murder everyone and everything and everybody I see. So
that's the spirit.
Yeah, that's my revenge at the game. Well, hey, the game cheated me. I'm gonna take my frustrations out on it. That's the way it goes. So anyway, so hey, you know what? We don't have a question of the week, but that's our question of the week. What are the things that you like to do in video games as a guilty pleasure that you really ought not to be doing, but do anyway? You know, that sort of thing. And if you say team killing, I will ban you from the podcast.
That actually reminds me of... It sounded like a line from one of Mel Brooks' movies. What's an auto de fe? It's what you oughtn't do, but you do anyway.
So, Paul, what do you do in games that you really ought not to be doing, but do anyway? Oh, by the way, cheating is not one of them.
I don't know. Those are all my choices. I can do whatever I want.
Okay, you like to cheat. How about you?
I don't like to cheat.
Well, okay, you cheat even though you don't need whatever.
Well, I can't think of any interesting choice in recent video game history that amounts to more than, I don't know, I harvested little sisters, maybe.
Okay, that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a gameplay choice. It isn't really going out of it. But, I mean, you know, you do get... I mean, Tannenbaum does get annoyed at you for doing that.
Well, good for her. She's not real.
And also the ending... What happens in the bad ending? Oh, yeah, the little sisters grow up and attack everybody and take over the world. At least that's what they imply. Or you go nuts... Oh yeah, that's right. You get addicted to Adam. You go out, and some military force is waiting for you, and you take them out, or something like that.
So. Yeah, see, I mean, it's so inconsequential. It doesn't really matter. It just was to make you feel guilty after the fact, and I'm
is
not going to feel guilty about
that?
Sprites.
Oh yeah, you take the little sisters with you. They grow up and have normal lives, and they're there with you at your deathbed.
Oh,
it's a very sweet. I love that. But, you know, being good never felt so good.
Wow.
That ending.
Nice, then.
It was a charming ending.
Yeah, I mean, I got that the first time.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to move on to the first news item. And let's see if this annoys Paul. Anti-piracy group hits indie creators for using the word pixels. And this comes to us from Torrent Freak. An anti-piracy firm working for Columbia Pictures has hit Vimeo with a wave of bogus copyright takedowns just because people use the word pixels in their video titles. Several indie productions are affected, including an art-focused NGO, an award-winning short movie, and the royalty-free stock footage company. Tens of millions of DMCA-style notices were sent to online services every week, complaining about copyright infringement. While most are accurate, some contain errors. This one took it to a whole new level. The group, the anti-piracy group, is Entura International. Who sent messages to everybody if everybody had the word pixels in their video? For example, founded in November 2004, NIMI describes itself as a nonprofit NGO and an independent museum of contemporary art. Our NGO has just received a DCMA notice for a video we produced in 2006 entitled Pixels. The group told Vimeo this week. This video was directed by a Cypriot filmmaker using his own video photos and sounds and music on a shoestring budget and infringes no copyright. Sadly for NME, however, it has been resigned to history. But the NGO is just the tip of the iceberg. The notice has gone to hit an embarrassing array of entirely non-infringing works. Live Buoy is my project for my degree at National University of Arts at Bucharest, creator Dragos Bardak explains. The film was made in mid-2010 and is a music video for the song Live Buoy by the band The Pixels. I used a mix of stop-motion animation techniques in order to tell the story. But it doesn't stop there. Published on Vimeo in 2011, Pantone Pixels is described by creator Rob Penny as, quote-unquote, a personal project that took me a very long time. Thanks to Entura, however, the image now greets users... of his website. The image below, it's a does not exist anymore image, I guess. And it gets worse. Pixels is the 2010 award-winning short film created by Patrick Jean. Its tagline, 8-bit creatures are invading New York City, only tells half the story of this extremely cool short movie. It is now wiped out on Vimeo, but luckily YouTube retains copies of it altogether. The YouTube version has been viewed millions of times. I will say this, that Pixels is what the movie Pixels is based on. As a matter of fact, a lot of the visual effects from the movie Pixels is in that short film, and some reviewers, including Red Letter Media, said that that's the only creative part of the movie is the stuff they actually took from the original. And last but certainly not least, Entura rounded off its disaster by taking down the original Pixels movie trailer, even though their very own notice lists their errors clearly. The notice, according to, now here's the part that might get you angry. Nimi said that they told Vimeo, the notice we received says that this is strike one, which we do not accept for aforementioned reasons. It also says that for Vimeo to accept to return the video online, we have to give our name, address, and an assortment of statements. Vimeo responded, I'd suggest filing a counter notice. This is in the hands of our trust and safety team, and unfortunately, our support team cannot help you with this issue. So, in other words, you're on your own. So, yeah. This is DCMA gone berserk. And not to mention, before we go on, Pixels is one of the worst movies of the year. It's an Adam Sandler Happy Madison movie.
It is probably his worst movie, because when you have to include porn story plot lines in your movie, you've scraped the bottom of the barrel. You've now hit the bottom. It's, wow, just, because I read, like, a summary outline of the movie, and there was a part of the movie that sounds just like what a porn would do. And it's like, what do you, this is crap.
You know that Q-Bert is in it, and he turns into a hot girl, who Rich Gabb, who, by the way, played Olaf in Frozen, or did the voice for. At the end, the woman gives birth to little Q-Bert, and that's just weird. And Q-Bert pees, by the way, we find out.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, one thing is that Adam Sandler clearly does not want to be in the movie. He looks like he's frustrated when he has to come out of his trailer and do something, and then he just wants to say his lines and get back into the trailer.
Is it not his movie?
It is his movie, but he just doesn't want to do it. He's just bored. He doesn't, you know. It's like he doesn't want to be in another Adam Sandler movie.
Then he should just stop.
I don't want to be in another Adam. Well, he has to make money somehow.
Well, this isn't good.
Why? Can't he just go away?
I mean, and by the way, this is one movie that was not directed by one of his cronies. It was actually directed by Chris Columbus, otherwise known as the director for the first half of the Harry Potter movies, and by Centennial Man and Home Alone, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I mean, Rick Moranis retired from movies, and I'm sure they found a job or some way to make money other than making really terrible, horrible movies, so I don't know.
Well, you know, Adam Sandler's a scam artist, by the way, and he basically Uwe Boll's his movies. Like, there was this big thing about Jack and Jill. Cost $80 million to make, and it looked like it cost $10,000 to make. He just took the and that doesn't even include the product placement money. He just gave big checks to his friends, you know. And right. It's a springtime for Hitler sort of thing.
So let's get back to the absurdity of trademarking the word Pixels and how just bizarrely stupid that really is.
You know, we had the same conversation way back like 2 years ago with Scrolls and how Bethesda was pissy at Mojang.
Let's not forget the classic example of Mirror's Edge.
Which one was that one?
What's that guy's name? He's friggin' trying to copyright the word Edge having to anything to do with video games.
Oh, we didn't cover that, but I wish we did.
Maybe it's just an inside game development thing, but I mean, really.
This guy's a professional squatter, though. See, that's he's what's known as a copyright squatter.
Yeah.
And he just registers a bunch of things, and hopefully someone makes something and says, no, I found it first. Look! Here's
my
copyright.
I mean, he's gotten so ridiculous that it's to the point where he's like trying to copyright individual letters so that he could sue the dictionary.
So anyways, this sounds like someone pressed a button, you know? Okay, fine, everything with Pixels and send a DMCA notice to it, you know?
Yeah, that word is like, it's part of, like, a person's graphic artist would need to say that word. So it's just so stupid that they can't freaking trademark that. That's just so stupid.
What kind of insult must it be to these people to find out that Adam Sandler is shutting down their art?
Oh,
it's all Adam Sandler's fault. And I'm pretty sure the people who the guy who made the short Pixels is embarrassed that he allowed it to get.
That must be really rubbing salt into wound right there. I mean, geez, it's like he's pretty much the reason why this movie exists and is being told to cease and desist with the original. It's like telling your dad to stop existing. I don't know. It's just so weird.
Paul? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. It's like what. It's like what's left to say. It's like, come on. But I mean, you know what? If nothing else, let this serve as a valuable reminder that the services we use on the internet do not belong to us. They are not free, and we are, as users, just subject to the corporate whims of the various websites we patronize.
Well, here's the thing. You know, see, the thing is, this is going to hurt Vimeo more than it's going to hurt this Entura, who is the people who sent the. And here's the thing, they couldn't have stopped with just Vimeo. You know, they had to have done Blip TV and YouTube and all that. And Blip TV and YouTube said, we're examining this list. Yeah, we're not gonna send notices to everybody on this list because the data, the video is right there. You know, if it says 2014 and earlier, they're not copywriting. They're not attacking a copyright. You know. Vimeo needs to work on its software, I think, or at least its discretion, because all this is going to really hurt is Vimeo, because people are going to say, well, look what Vimeo did. They allowed this to happen. Why would I want to put my video there just to have it removed again?
They just don't want to be bothered.
I mean, Vimeo, I like Vimeo, but if I want to post my show on Vimeo. Oh, you know, I posted my episode, the episode that's going to be coming on this Thursday, because I also do a TV show, right? Mm-hmm. And it live streams at MNN.org, and I decided to upload the show onto YouTube, right?
Right.
So, immediately I get hit with two notices for artistic. One is from a song that's in a thing, and I can understand that, you know. And YouTube actually allows you to mute that part, said the song doesn't appear, the video is still there, but you don't hear anything, you know, that I can understand. But Konami hit me for posting a clip of Metal Gear Solid 5, their trailer, and my attitude is, what? I am selling your game for you, and you're going to take away my monetization? No, I'm just going to delete the video, and you can't have any. Sorry, you know, I'm selling this game for you. Don't do that. Electronic Arts didn't do anything. Ubisoft didn't do anything. The only person who did it was you, you know. And now I'm starting to understand why Kojima left. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I was saying, doesn't Nintendo do that? Send out little.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never tried to post me playing, Super Mario Brothers on on YouTube. The thing is that. I mean, Nintendo probably will allow you. They just won't let you to monetize it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is that, I'm not, Konami, you have enough money. You don't need my money, You don't have to take my money. And if you want to make money off my video, well, guess what? I'm not going to post my video. And in the future, I'm not going to post anything of your games. So there, Konami, you don't have any more games. Actually, that's actually kind of true, because they don't have much being released after Metal Gear Solid 5. They have a very barren shelf.
It's really unfortunate. I used to like them as a game company, but now it's like they just really are going down, it looks like.
Yeah. But anyways, getting back to Pixels. I'm wondering if I'm even going to watch it on Netflix. I think it's going to be on Netflix next week at the rate this is going.
Probably. Just reading that summary just felt like the most insulting thing to anybody's intelligence. And it's like, how can you find any joy? It's like that mall cop guy's the president.
Paul Blart, and, mall cop too.
Yeah. And
Kevin James is playing the president.
Right.
And Kevin James. The way, you know who plays his wife? Jane Krakowski. For those of you who don't know who she is, she's the one who plays Jenna Maroney on 30 Rock. And she gets to do nothing. And the other female leads do nothing.
Of course, it's
an Adam Sandler film, One girl becomes a trophy, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And what I love is on the making of video, the woman who's a trophy says, "This movie is really empowering to women." Blah blah. Yeah, right. Whatever. How much did Adam pay to say that? So the one movie I'm really intrigued in seeing on Netflix is Fantastic Four, because from what I understand, the first half of the movie, the first hour, maybe hour and a half of it, is actually really, really good. It's like The Fly, you know, it's a lot of character development. And then Marvel decided, listen, you can't have this. We needed to fit the Avengers and have a nice, happy, goofy theme to it, you know, and people want to see fighting. So the mood changes like two-thirds of the way in, and it's really, really jarring, and that's why it's getting all these negative reviews, because the movie was, if you want to hear executive meddling, that's what this movie is. So I'll be interested to see what happened with Fantastic Four. I'm not going to give it my money. I don't want to pay to see a bad movie, but I do want to see it on Netflix to see how interesting it is, you know, because it seems like one of those movies that, you know, that could have been great, but got interfered with. I wish someone interfered with Pixels and did not greenlight it.
But just made it better.
No, it has Adam Sandler in it. You can't make it better.
If you take Adam Sandler out, that would help.
Anyways, we're going to move on. Now, I noticed that Paul did not go on a rant. He's just tired of this stuff, isn't he?
You know what? It's like I'm really tired of not just Pixels, but of all the various remakes trying to capitalize on the past success of intellectual properties who don't even understand what makes those IPs special.
I'm pretty sure you're about to bring up the movie Vacation right about now.
Vacation's one of them. I haven't seen it yet. Haven't heard good things. No. The upcoming Gem and the Holograms movie this October. He-Man movie of 1986. I mean, I'm tired of it. It's like, if you don't understand what the fuck you're doing with these properties, get out of the way and let someone who knows what they're talking about make you a shit ton of fucking money.
You know what movie? You know what movie that really was basically taking an old show and trying to revitalize it and really succeeded in a big way was the Brady Bunch movie. And because what they did was, rather than try to update them, they just left them in the 70s and made it a culture clash.
So, right.
I mean, it worked. Although, you know, the funny thing is that Davy Jones is really good, a singer. So her saying, "I'm going to bring Davy Jones in," it's like, oh, God. And then we find out, you know, he's not been musically inactive for the past 20 years. So, yeah. We're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul. Rare Replay.
Rare Replay Studios' first UK chart topper since Banjo and Kazooie on N64 back in 1998. And this comes to us from Eurogamer. Rare retro game compilation Rare Replay is the developer's first game to grace the top of the UK charts in nearly 17 years. The last time Rare hit the top spot was in 1998 for the original Banjo and Kazooie on the N64. The game included in the Rare Replay package. Rare Replay is also the Xbox One's first exclusive chart topper. Titanfall hit the top spot too, but was also released simultaneously on PC. And one final statistic, Rare Replay, released at £20, is the first retail budget game to reach number one for 6 years, since Wii Fit Plus back in 2009. Rare's next game is Sea of Thieves, due out on PC and Xbox One in 2016.
Yeah, the reason why this is interesting is that it's so rare to have a budget game that just hits the top of the charts, you know. And it's really nice because here's the thing: a lot of people can't afford games these days. And if you're going to get 17 games in one, or is it 17? So, you're getting all the rare games that were ever released, almost all of them, because I don't think they have GoldenEye in it, because Nintendo's holding on to that property, you know, really hard. You know, it's nice to have a budget game just, you know, be released in a store and be sold a lot, you know. And I know you aren't a fan of Banjo-Kazooie, Paul, but did you like any Rare games?
None come off the top of my head that I can think of.
Not Battletoads or...
Battletoads was fun.
Yeah.
Battletoads had a nice soundtrack.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a nice thing. Also, I haven't picked it up yet. You know, the surprising thing is it actually also includes Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, which was a game that, you know, I think was unfairly overlooked. You know, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, that's the one in which you get to create your own vehicles and then race them around, basically. You didn't play that? It was on the Xbox, I'd like to say 360. So, yeah. I mean, and also the other thing is it's nice to see Rare do something right for a change. You know, get something that people actually want to play. Because they've been swinging and missing for the past couple of years right now. Not that I didn't like Viva Pinata, which is also included in Rare Replay. Okay, so anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Excuse me. All right. War Diablo is coming from Polygon. Blizzard has posted a very interesting job listing with some pretty steep requirements. The listing doesn't say anything about a specific game outside the fact that it's an unannounced project. But we do know that the series project will be Diablo. Hold on. Okay. The position requires a minimum of 10 years experience in creating video game art, with at least 5 years as lead artist or art director. The listing also states a requirement for a proven track record of shipping AAA products in a art director role. They're looking for someone with a pretty serious experience, but if this is a new Diablo game, they're also hiring for what amounts to a dream position for many in the industry. Under the pluses section, you'll need a passion for games with a deep understanding of Diablo franchise. That pretty much gives it away. Blizzard has many irons in the fire right now, and it's very possible Heroes of the Storm will receive more Diablo content, and there's always a possibility that Diablo content could lead into Hearthstone. This could be also referring to an expansion pack follow-up 2014's Reaper of Souls, with Diablo 3 recently hitting 30 million units sold in its lifetime. It's clear that the game likely has a bit of life left in it before a full sequel is released. Blizzard responded to queries on the job listing. We don't have any additional information to share, spokesperson stated. We're always working on different projects and developing new ideas, but we don't have anything to announce at this time.
So, yeah. I mean, I love Diablo 2. I'm sort of still cold on Diablo 3. It never really grabbed me like the Diablo 1 and Diablo 2 did.
I don't think I've really gotten into that series like other game series. I played it, and it just seemed like a grind the whole time. And
well, that's the entire point of the game, though. It's the grind. The thing is, you're looking for gems and special, you know, it's all about grabbing loot, you know. I never thought of it as
well,
a grind.
Well, who doesn't want to grab loot, really?
I do, but it's like I want story, and I want to be engaged. And
yeah, there
I
is story.
Like
you have to look for it, though. You have to talk to people in the town for the story.
Yeah, I guess. And
a lot of the story is you're going to kill these creatures.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Go kill stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I still play Diablo 2, and that was a game that was released way back in 2000. So
right.
Paul, now I know the main franchise that you like is Warcraft, and that's not coming out anytime soon.
No, probably not. But yeah, I mean, whatever, Diablo's a good game, but I mean, it's kind of like, hey, guess what? Water's going to come out of your faucet when you turn it on tomorrow.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I mean, water's kind of all the rage these days.
Oh, well, not in California, no.
Well, it comes out the faucet.
That isn't necessarily true in California, Paul.
I think they
want the faucet.
So,
if you're having a problem, shouldn't have moved to the desert.
Yeah.
But isn't Los Angeles on the beach? Well, you're not all of
no,
it.
No, not all of it.
No. But I don't think this necessarily means a Diablo 4. I'm willing to bet you it's just yet another expansion pack, because that's all Blizzard seems to do these days is expansion packs. Expansion pack for World of Warcraft, expansion pack for Hearthstone, expansion pack for Diablo, you know? I mean, when was the last... I know that technically World of Warcraft 2 was when they had the Cataclysm, World of Warcraft Cataclysm, but I would like to see a new World of Warcraft 2, not another expansion, you know? And basically, by the way, the reason why World of Warcraft was so successful was that it was basically Diablo as an MMO, even though it had a Warcraft license.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, are you interested in seeing if there's a Diablo 4 or not? I guess I shouldn't answer, because you already answered that.
I mean,
yeah, I think we both said no.
In other news, water is wet. I mean, I'm sure I'll get around to it at some point. It's not going to be really high on my list.
The last item. Games for Windows, quote unquote, wasn't the right approach, says Microsoft. This comes to us from PC Gamer. Kevin Unangst. There's no angst in Kevin. Kevin Unangst, senior director for PC Gaming and the Xbox Group, was more than forthright in his assessment for Games for Windows than was expected PC Gamer caught up with him in Gamescom today. By the way, that's one thing I've never gone to and I want to at some point. The only problem with Gamescom is it's in Germany, so it's kind of a pricey trip. And I keep getting invited.
I'll know I've arrived in my industry when I get sent to Gamescom.
Oh, you want to go to Gamescom too? Back when it used to be called Leipzig, by the way, when it was based in Leipzig. Now I think it's in Cologne, Germany. If I'm sure.
Doesn't really matter.
Why are you really hot for going to Gamescom?
Oh, I mean, I'm not. But, I mean, you get sent to an international games convention. I mean, you've arrived.
Unless you're living in Germany, then it's just down the block.
Please, I couldn't get a former employer to let me go to the other side of Los Angeles.
Well, no, you went to E3, though. I mean, come on. You do go to E3, at least.
I go to E3. It's free.
For you, at least.
Yeah.
Gamescom was a prior approach where it was more, at the time, like, how do we take things, he said. We knew we wanted to help make great multiplayer, and we knew we wanted to bring things over, but it wasn't the right approach. It was the approach of, let's just take these things and transplant them. With the launch of... That's an outright lie, by the way, and I'll explain it after I read this. With the launch of Windows 10 and the renewed push to unify Xbox and PC into one huge ecosystem, it was a busy time for Microsoft. PC gamers who had to put up with the old games for Windows system had cause to be cynical, however. Will the refreshed Windows Store be included with Windows 10 be any different? And is Microsoft planning to use the Windows user base to challenge Steam? No, at least not according to I apologize to whatever nationality he is.
I mean, just say it with a little bit of vigor, and you'll get there.
We are not intending to compete with Steam, he told PC Gamer. If anything, we want Steam to be even more successful. They've done great things for PC gamers in terms of having a single store. Okay, I will explain how Games for Windows Live failed. Okay, first, they did not make a great impression when they said that Halo 2 was going to be Windows Vista only, and that it was impossible to have it on XP. Because they should have known that hackers were going to just be, oh, look, it could have been on XP. And they proved it could have been on XP, but they were forcing people to upgrade to Windows Vista 2.
Which was a terrible, terrible platform.
Two, they weren't. You know, what they should have done at the time was release an Xbox Live tray, you know. But instead, they tried to force Windows Messenger onto a console, which was a disaster. I hated it. Once I installed it, because what happens is I had all these messages from spam and all that coming on my Xbox, because, you know, Windows Messenger was becoming the number one place to go if you were a spammer.
Well, of course. I mean, because look at all the new audience that they had. People who hadn't figured out how to turn that nonsense off.
And the thing is that, you know, on a console system, you only need one messaging system. Don't put two. Have the Windows Live tray be on the PC, you know. Have the PC service the console, not the other way around. It's not going to work that way. And, you know, the thing is that it had the same pop-up system as the Xbox, which is fine. The problem is that... other software systems have their logins too, which is why Uplay, people don't like Uplay, because they have to log in twice. First they have to log into Steam, and then they have to log into Uplay, you know, that sort of thing. Other than that, it was perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, I preferred buying Games for Windows Live games because I was an achievement whore and I could get achievements by playing it on my PC. You know, I only played, I played Batman on my PC because I was getting achievements for playing Batman on my PC.
Well, now they have more competition than just Steam, but there's also Origin with EA and the good old games Galaxy.
I'm talking about logging into one, you know, I'm talking about an environment in which you have to log in twice to play a game, right? Logging in once is, I'd rather not log in at all.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to log in, log me in once and that's it. Boom. you know, I'm in Steam, I'm in Origin, whatever. Either way, fine. You know, just don't do it twice. And what they're doing with Windows 10 is a little bit sneakier. You're logged in, but it's seamless because it's basically when you log into Windows 10, you're logged in. You know, and if you want to connect your Xbox Live account, fine. You know, and it'll be married to your Xbox Live account. So basically, what they're doing that they screwed up earlier is that they're making it invisible. I mean, people don't, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and that's gamers don't mind that, by the way. If they don't see it, that's just dandy with them. They don't want it. They don't need to see everything happening, you know. Occasionally get a pop-up from someone logging into Xbox Live, and that's fine, you know.
Scott? Yeah, it's true. I mean, the thing I don't like is the advertisements and trying to tie in the online experience in by having just advertisements really bothers me because I'd rather just feel like I'm sitting on my computer doing what I want to do and not being bugged by pop-ups. I mean, it's like, yeah, I don't mind if there's a pop-up saying somebody's online, but I don't want some advertisement suddenly shooting up saying, hey, look, this game is on sale, or this program is on sale, or this thing that'll make your computer run faster, click to download. You know, I don't need that crap popping up when I'm trying to do stuff, play games, or whatever.
What's interesting with Windows 10 is that they basically took the Metro interface and just put it in the start menu and left it there. Everything else is regular, you know. So that Metro interface is there, but it's like it's not there unless you want it, you know. And you have to do the start menu to do it. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing: is that you can add things to the Metro interface. So I'm guessing what you could do is you could just remove all the stuff from the Metro interface, and there'll be nothing there left. You know.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard that XP mode is gone, so. I don't know if it can revert to more classic theme or not.
The one thing that really irritates me is that some of my software that I need don't work. Like my editing software and my DVD ripper, you know, they don't work because apparently they took away the codecs and all that stuff from the DVD. You can play DVDs, but I'm going to have to figure out how to... you know, get things up and running again. Because I need to be able to rip my old DVDs to make a what's it called, video review show. You know,
Like transfer files with USB or something?
No. It's codecs. It's all codecs. I mean, there are DVD rippers that are now available with Windows 10. Mm. But I'm trying to do it so that I don't have to buy another software, right?
Right.
The thing that really is annoying is that my Pinnacle Studio isn't working right. It just simply won't load, and I have a feeling it's Pinnacle's fault for not updating the software. And they're now up to 18.5. I have 18, and I try to email them, ask them, hey, can you give me an update so I can use this on Windows 10? Otherwise, I'm just going to buy another Windows. I'm just going to buy another video editor and just say screw you. I mean. To edit my last episode of my show, I used the Windows Movie Maker software, which is rudimentary. But sometimes rudimentary is fine.
Yep, whatever gets the job done.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me that somebody would say, "Oh, we tried doing our own thing and it didn't work because we didn't give people what they wanted. We gave them far too much." Interconnectivity when they just wanted to be left the hell alone. It was like that. It was like that one E3 keynote. Xbox is the new water cooler. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, people who listen to this show for any period of time will know that Paul is clinging to Windows XP with both hands.
Yeah, I think. I don't know if
I No, I mean, give me a quality product and I'll upgrade.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that Windows XP is... You have not... let's see. We've had Vista, 7, 8, 8.1, and 10. That's five OSs since Paul has refused to upgrade from.
And they've all been horrible.
No, Windows 7 was fine. I mean, come on.
No, I'm not going to upgrade from a fantastic system to one that's just fine because somebody tells me to.
Unfortunately, Paul, you know that they're going to upgrade you whether you like it or not when there's nothing available on XP anymore. I mean, I wonder if there is an emulator on Windows 10 for XP.
There probably is, or somebody will make one.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's the end of our show. We didn't have any listener feedback this week. Maybe Arthur V or somebody were on vacation or something. We do enjoy reading letters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we want to know from you. The question of the week is, do you go berserk and kill everybody in your video game?
Did I tell you what my daughter did in Fable? I don't know if I... No, I don't think I have.
Which Fable? Fable 1?
Fable 2.
Oh, Fable 2.
It's in your starting village. I remember picking up the controller because, like, she had walked
away. Is your daughter a serial killer now? She just killed everybody in Fable 2?
In her town, the starting town, she did. I just saw all these yellow experience orbs and all the houses were for sale and nobody was around. And I was like, oh my god, she shot them all with the crossbow.
You know, that reminds me of Dragon Age when you come upon Sandal and there's a ton of dead darkspawn around him and he's sort of autistic and he always says, this, enchantment! You know, and you have no idea how or why he killed everything around him. So your daughter just ran around shooting people. Maybe it was like Chappie, you know, and they were told that shooting them with arrows would just make them go to sleep.
No, I don't know. She said they were not doing what she wanted, and then shooting them.
Oh, that's a great trait. They didn't do what I wanted, so I shot them.
Yeah.
I want you to shine my shoes. You're not? Okay, you're dead. Blam!
Something like that, yeah. That
you know, you better not have those anti-video game enthusiasts hear this story, because they're going to... They're going to say video games make your daughter want to shoot everybody in town.
Because they're not real. And it's just whatever.
Paul, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
You guys are ranting about some nonsense.
Do you want to rant about any nonsense?
No, I'm good.
Well, look for...
It seems like a low rant day.
Yeah, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. All set us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some iTunes comments. You can follow me, Paul, and Scott at Jonah Falcon, at Stager Monkey, and at Alpha Shard. So, yeah, not a very long episode, but, you know, sometimes you have that times when there's not much news.
Or yeah. At least,
you know, it's August. The big games are coming.
November will be Fallout 4.
Well, I mean, hey, this weekend is the D23 Expo. I'm waiting to see what figures they're announcing for Infinity 3.0.
Oh, that's right. And Infinity 3.0 is also getting released next week? This week? Coming up? I know there was a...
Soon.
Trademark.
And I know there's some games that are coming, because I had to post them for my... we have Zombie coming out, Madden NFL coming out, Disney 3.0 comes out on August 30th, then comes Metal Gear Solid 5, Mad Max, Forza Motorsport 6, you know, so, yeah, the big games you're talking about, you know, Rock Band 4 is coming out on August 6th. And I did pre-order the PAX East guitar at PAX East, this past PAX East, so obviously I'm getting it. And, you know, Fallout 4 coming out November 10th, and the next week is Star Wars Battlefront. And that's going to be an interesting... I wonder if people are going to... actually, Halo Guardians comes out on October 27th. Then the next 2 weeks from there is Fallout 4, then the next week is Star Wars Battlefront. I'm wondering if people are going to... Complete Halo 5 in time for Halo 4, and then Fallout 4, and then complete Fallout 4 in time for Star Wars Battlefront. You know
what I've heard? You're going to be playing if you get into Fallout 4, you could just keep playing it and not really finish it because that's something that you can. It's like Skyrim; you can continue playing it even after the main story is complete, and just it's a real open world that just continues.
So, Paul, what are you looking forward most from Disney Infinity 3.0?
I don't know. I will let you know when I get it.
Are you excited for the Star Wars?
It falls under my no spoilers rule.
And wait, Marvel was already introduced in Disney Infinity, right?
Marvel was introduced last year.
Oh, okay. So this time it'll be Star Wars. And they're not making it a secret, Paul. I mean, they're in the advertising there.
No, there are unannounced figures.
I know, I'm just saying, but Star Wars is going to be in 3.0. So.
Oh, right. I mean, that's not
a spoiler.
Right, and I never said... I'm telling you other features of the game have not been announced.
I'm also waiting for that.
Did you personally help work on Infinity 3.0, or you just know people who worked on it?
I know people who worked on it.
Okay.
Who are currently working on it.
Okay.
Rather.
So anyways, we will see you next week. Hopefully we will have more content for you.
I think we did a fairly nice job with content as it is.
Okay.
Are you not entertained?
You know, the funny thing is, I haven't seen that movie. I haven't seen Gladiator.
Either, but I mean, it was just so easy to quote.
No, I know. I mean, I know characters from My Little Pony. It doesn't mean I watch it.
You think you know, but you have no idea.
Yeah. So here's a question: If you were to cast Alpha Shard, Scott here, as one of the My Little Ponies, which one would you cast him as?
That's an awfully personal question. I barely know the boy.
I'll say Pinkie Pie and leave it at that.
No, too low energy for Pinkie Pie.
Yeah, but you know, in every fanfic I've seen of My Little Pony, Pinkie Pie turns into this mass murderer, evil, you know, thing.
I'd be more of the Fluttershy, is what my daughter says.
Yeah, I'd buy a ship Fluttershy.
You know what? I have a feeling that maybe at some point you guys can do a My Little Pony discussion, much like Paul, Jennifer, and Jordan did of Doctor Who. Maybe you two can do.
Well, I mean, my problem is that season 5 was terrible.
Well, you can discuss that.
First of all, it was only 13 episodes.
Well, here's the thing: if a season is terrible, what?
Are you tired of Clara as well, Paul?
Clara?
Clara, whatever. What is her name? I don't even want to think about her anymore. I keep getting her name wrong.
What, their new story director or something?
The doctor in... I thought it was Clara. The companion.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're going to switch tracks to Doctor Who, I was talking about My Little Pony still.
Oh, sorry.
So you know what? We should, what's it called, find a time where you two can discuss My Little Doctor Who.
There you go.
That sounds lovely.
There's a fan art of that already.
Oh, wait, that reminds me that I have to have... Oh, wait, there's a Doctor...
Doctor Pony,
in My Little Pony. Doctor Hooves.
Mm-hmm, yep, that's it.
He actually was in a... featured prominently in a Season 5 episode.
Do you know what?
This is like the only good episode of the entire season.
This is a preview of things to come, folks. We're going to have a Doctor Who / My Little Pony podcast, you know, as filler... what's it called, at some point. And these two will discuss whatever, how bad season 5 was.
That was so unacceptable.
And we won't discuss why it was unacceptable until we actually do the podcast. And until then, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, Bonds.
Oh, come on, guys. Scott, you have to jump in. Scott, jump in quicker. Okay.
Hey, I did.
Okay, see you next week. See, that's not jumping in quicker.
He said nothing. He said nothing.
I already said my bye. I'm sorry.
I want to do it again so that we can...
All right. Do it one more time.
And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Bonds.